Hi, this is Paul Slatkis. I am with Good News Broadcast. I am speaking to Mary Alicia Gilroy Johnson. Good morning, Mary.
Well, good morning, and it is a good and wonderful morning. I'm so excited.
I am excited as well. Mary, you are a wonderful person. You've written a wonderful book. You're the Mary, I guess, you'll tell me, in the Mary, the Seventh Girl, Extraordinary Miracles in an Ordinary Life, Mary A. Johnson. Do you have faith in miracles? That's my question to you.
I have had some wonderful miracles occur in my life going back to the age of 10. And if I'm over the age of 50, that's quite a few miracles. Actually, the first miracle in the book is with regards to my mother. She had been told by the medical field that they would have to amputate her leg. And I recall she was feeling so sad. I actually could not even think of my mother without her leg. She had 14 children. I'm number 7 of 14 children. And I was sitting at the foot of her bed, and she said, "My daughter, you're the seventh girl. God do miracles for the seventh child." So she said, "Would you pray for my leg?" I began a 9-day novena, Paul, and in that, a very quiet voice, our Lord, he didn't shout, but I knew she would be okay. I ran in the room and said, "Mom, you won't lose your leg. It's going to be okay." And she said, "You think?" Well, let me tell you, she lived to be 100 years old with both legs, and the leg that was sick was never sick again. That's a miracle.
That's a miracle. We love miracles.
Yes, we love miracles. I define miracles as God's work, something that goes beyond mankind. And we love miracles. Without them, where would we be? Let me tell you, Paul, what's exciting with this book. What it does, in a nutshell, is let the reader know that our Lord hears prayers, but not only does he hear it, he answers prayers. So whatever you may be going through or dealing with, finances, marriage, illness, whatever it is, it will get better. And the one thing that you cannot do is give up. So Christ hears prayers. Christ answers prayers. He's left the tomb. He is with us. He's live. He is real. And I have 200 pages to prove it. Not only that, soon there will be a book 2, a sequel to Mary the Seventh Girl, because the miracles continue. So when my life gets off track, it's just so easy to pick up my book. I tell my readers, keep it near the Bible. It is not a one-time read. You pick it up whenever you feel your life is kind of off track and you go, "Oh, that's right, this happened." So it can happen to me, and it can. It's a good book to have just to stay on track spiritually with your life and to know it's going to be okay. take, even though we live in a world where so many horrors happen.
You know, I'm an interfaith minister myself. I went to seminary, and I'm a believer, and I'm a believer in anything anybody wants to believe, and support that as long as it's nonviolent and kind in its nature. You have one of your last. Your book is wonderful. Your book you can pick up. And you don't have to stay and read the whole book. You can read the book, whole book, but whenever you are in a maybe down a little, you can just go to any chapter.
Yes.
And just read that chapter. That's why I love your book so much.
You can just
I like to just close my eyes. I like to fan through a book, and wherever I end up, I like to start reading. And your book is that kind of book. This is my kind of book. And the short chapters, Two White Love Doves, What Is No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper. I think this is a very, very important thought.
Oh, that story, Paul, was wonderful. I'm going to try and be brief with this. I went to bed one Saturday night, and it was like a tape recording. All night I could hear in my mind, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. So, Paul, I woke up about 2 o'clock. I sat on the side of the bed for a moment, and I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What does this even mean? And it was 2 o'clock, so I was still sleepy, went back to bed. Paul, all over again, all night, no weapons formed. So I woke up at 6 because I had mass coming up at 8:30. And I said, Lord, I don't know what this means, but I will talk to Father about it. So no sooner than mass was over, Father was headed to the parish hall. I said, Father, wait. I have something that's urgent, and I must get your opinion. And I told him, and I said, it was like a recorder all night. What does this mean? Oh, my God, Paul, he stopped short, and he said, wait. He says, Mary, it means you're under God's protection and no one can harm you. He said, I want you to read Psalm 91, which is in the book. He said, that come closest to what no weapons formed against you shall prosper. Paul, my God, I can't tell you what this has done for me. The peace, you know, once you believe and you know and you've been told, there's a peace that goes beyond all understanding. This brought me such peace. Later that evening, Father even called, and he goes, did you read it? Did you read it? And I'm like, ask me how many times I read Psalm 91. That's a powerful psalm, Paul, because it says you'll crush the heads of snakes and no one can harm you. 1,000 may fall dead around you, but you will not be harmed. It is so powerful. To this day, my Bible is open to Psalm 91, although I read every place. That's my favorite psalm. It is powerful. It is believable. It is heaven on earth.
Now, Mary, first of all, having such a biblical and revered name, the name Mary.
Yes, you caught it. Thank you.
Lucky you.
Yes.
And you also are the seventh child in a family, a large
yes.
family, and you
yes.
love the number 7, and so do many others.
Oh, I love the number seven, Paul. There are 7 days in a week. The Lord rested on the seventh day. 7 secrets in the Eucharist. 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit. The 7 miracles right before Christ was crucified, where he walked on water, etc. And did you know that the number 7 is behind almost every single word in the Bible, although it's not visible? So 7 truly is God's number, and it means perfection and completion. And I'm often asked, well, Mary, do you think you're perfect? I said, I think Christ believes I'm perfect and complete. That's good enough for me.
Mary, also, I will say, first of all, I love this important piece of work, Mary the Seventh Girl, your book. And for 35 years, you've been a lecturer and an Eucharistic minister, if I'm saying that correctly.
That's correct. That's correct.
Good. And a certified licensed counselor from the University of Texas, board certified in anger management, and a certified in domestic violence, death, and loss. And for 4 years, you hosted a show. This is a beautiful thing that you did in Houston, Public Access, called Alicia's Eyes. And
yes.
Put the spotlight on positive events involved with students K through 12.
Right.
So you're really a wonderful human being and doing such good work for our Mother Earth and our humanity. So where, in essence, in you, do you feel, I know you feel a lot of strength in the Lord. How about your own family? Did they give you strength in your character? Did they help you see the world in a good way?
They helped me, but in many ways, Paul, they're not like me. And I know that makes sense. Some things that I see and perceive, they have a different perception, you know. But they're very uplifting. They're very supportive. I have relatives who also may not see things the way that I see it. I don't tell people you have to see things my way. But if you read the book, develop your own sense of what your faith is, what you want to be, what kind of a foundation. Because I believe without a foundation in Christ, Paul, you're out there without any kind of protection. You know, that's my belief. Now, there's so much going on in the world that I tell people often, if it weren't for Christ, I would get in my bed, cover my head, and never get out. But because of Christ, I can boldly walk and go wherever I choose, because he has promised, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But you know what I believe? I believe for anyone who gets that message and read this in the book, it is applicable to them, because what the book does is bring his word to life. For anyone who will read this, get this message, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because Christ loves us all equally. I'm convinced he doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And the fact that you are getting this message and evidently read the Bible, you went to the seminary, you too are protected, knowing him, trying to lead a life of good deeds and prayers, I believe brings protection. That's what I did with my life, Paul. That's
Mary,
but I did.
I can see that, and you live it beautifully. Let me ask you an important question, okay? Because the thought of, you know, how do we bring greater religious tolerance in the world? And my question is the following. Most of the world lives in peace. Most of the people of the world are peaceful, in my mind. These are my thoughts now. And we're involved with World Peace Day, September 21st. And I dedicated my life, actually, to the fostering of brotherhood and sisterhood and peace, world peace. We do the largest peace circle in Times Square. We do it in Central Park. We do it in other places in the world. And we're trying to throw a peace day party in respect to the United Nations, where 193 countries raised their hands and said they will do this on September 21st.
Okay.
We do know, however, that there are a few people that will utilize religion in a warlike manner. How do we reach those people? Because in essence, they're messing things up for everybody else.
Well, you know, the message there to me, Paul, is Christ was a peaceful man. There was nothing about him that was complicated. He was very peaceful. If you're doing something that is not about peace or promote peace and goodwill, that is not about Christ. His message is so simple. It's all about doing the right thing, getting along with your fellow man. If it's not peaceful, it is not Christ. And I totally agree with you. The message is so simple that I think it just kind of jumped right over our heads. And because it's so simple, if it's not about peace, it is not about Christ. He went about promoting peace, and of course, they used it on him to crucify him. His punishment was horrible, and he did nothing to deserve it. So my message, where that is concerned, if it's not peaceful, it is not Christ.
Okay. All righty. Well, I really much greatly appreciate what you've done here. Mary the Seventh Girl, extraordinary miracles in an ordinary life. Mary, you're very brave and strong to come out and share your thinking, personal thoughts, with a greater good in mind. And it really it evolves right out of the book. I want to ask you two last questions, because we've asked thousands of people this. First one we ask, and I believe it is very pertinent to what we're talking about. I ask, because our broadcast is Good News Broadcast, and people speak how Christ and the Christian Bible is called the Good News.
But yes.
I've asked people, what does good news mean to them? So, Mary, what does good news mean to you?
Oh, that is so exciting, Paul. Whenever you have good news, you want to shout it from the rooftop. You want to share it. Good news to me means share. Tell the world. Tell someone. Again, a simple answer. But good news means to share. And the reason Mary the Seventh Girl came about, I wanted to share Christ's message, Christ's works, his mighty works that we tend to overlook every day. And I would call my book, Mary the Seventh Girl, a good news book, because it is meant to be shared.
I love it. Okay, and our last question, our last question is, Mary, what does peace mean to you?
Oh, my God, peace. It's that feeling. It's living a life free from turmoil. Peace has to begin with the person first. You have to be a peaceful person to be able to enjoy peace. But peace is a heart that is free from turmoil, a heart that is trusting, a heart where you know you're protected, you're in the hands of Christ, and it's all going to be okay, no matter how turbulent it may get. No matter how turbulent it may get, it will be okay because you have that peace in your heart. It's a peace that goes beyond any understanding. Again, peace is God's work. And let me tell you, Paul, we have to work for peace. It's not just given. You have to do good deeds. You know, when you do something good, you feel good about it. It's a good, peaceful feeling. So we have to do good deeds. We have to pray. Sometime a good deed can be a smile. My Lord, a good morning. How are you? A thank you. But peace is not easily given. We have to work for it. And it begins with us.
I love you.
I love you back.
All right. Well, Mary, I'll say this too, because I like to say, and I think it's a good thing to say, I say amen, and I also say our women.
Well, listen, I'm kind of old school. Amen works for me. Paul, you were wonderful, and I cannot thank you enough for allowing me to speak of our Lord's mighty works. I'm sure you have a great blessing coming your way. So I will say thank you, and God bless you. May his wonderful face shine upon you.
Thank you, and may it shine upon you as well, Mary. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.